Good morning. Good morning to all of you and all of those that are watching online. I just want to start off by saying thank you to everybody here that has supported me. I feel absolutely overwhelmed with everybody that has come up to me today through the past week and past couple months just to encourage me and lift me up. There's a lot of people that are not here today. Like Gary and Kyle. Gary said, "Aaron, I want you to preach today," and then he went on vacation. That's okay. That's okay. So, anyway, for those of you that may not know me, my name is Aaron Rogg, and I'm a student through the AIM program, and I've been working alongside Gary. I was preaching on Sunday nights for a while just to help me build up some experience, and Gary said that he'd give me a day to preach in front of you guys. We've been learning about one anothering. The idea that I get with one anothering is just a blueprint of how to commune with each other. God says, love one another. That's how we are to treat one another. He says, bear up with each other. He says, to comfort each other and be comforted. And he says, to confess to one another. There's so many different ways that God has given to us to show us, look, this is how I want you guys to treat each other. This is how I want you guys to be around each other. That's what one anothering is. So, there was once a son, a couple with a son. The son wanted freedom. He was about to graduate high school, and he wanted to do whatever he wanted. And he's already been living kind of a ungodly life. And his dad had made it clear, you're not doing that under this roof. And so the son, that was me, by the way. Gave that away a little bit too soon. Anyway, I said, all right, I'm out of here. And I moved. I moved out, and I moved in with some people from the church that I barely ever saw because I was out doing my own thing. A year went by, and one night, I was just hanging out with them. We were doing just some frivolous things, living very foolishly. And so we stayed up all night, and finally, I just broke down. I said, I just can't do this anymore. I started feeling this deep emptiness inside me. I don't know if you guys know what that feels like, but it was deep. And it was hard and painful. And I was convinced that God had just given up on me. I've been doing this for so long, God said, dude, I can't work with you anymore. And so I thought he'd given up on me. So finally, as the sun was coming up, I went outside, and we were in his parents' backyard, and I just fell to my knees with my face on the ground, praying, because I knew that there was nowhere else that I could go. Nobody else could help me besides him. And so finally, nothing happened. But I went back home. I was staying at my friend's house at the time because my lease had ended. And I was just talking to him. I was talking to other people. And I just was like, all right, I just can't do this anymore. That feeling was still sitting inside of me. I don't know how else to describe it except a deep and heavy emptiness. That's what it felt like. And so finally, I contacted my parents. I was at work, and my mom, she came to pick me up with absolutely no hesitation. I said, I want to talk to you guys. And so as I was driving home with my mom said, what's going on? Much lovingly and gentler than that. She's like, what's going on? And I was like, well, I want to talk to you and dad. She's like, just tell me right now. And she was always the kind to want to drag stuff out of you, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm so glad that I was able to tell her in that moment. There's just like this tension there, you know? So I told her everything. I went home. I was able to talk to my dad and my mom. There was no judgment. There was only love, comfort, and they took me back in and took care of me. I ended up sleeping in the upstairs schoolroom on a blow-up mattress right next to the dirty hamster cage. In a way, it was sort of comforting. I was hanging out with the hamster a little bit and holding it. It was nice and soft, you know. Anyway. So, have you guys been there before? Maybe you just got out of there. Maybe you have a child there right now. And you're just waiting. You've been waiting a long time. You've been waiting years. Maybe you've confessed and you've been able to experience those feelings of freedom and guilt washing over you. That's one thing I forgot to mention is I was sitting right next to the dirty hamster cage, right, on the blow-up mattress in the schoolroom, but I have never felt so good in my life. That freedom and guilt, that guilt was gone. I felt whole again. It's because I was able to confess everything that was going on. Maybe you wish that you could experience that freedom. Maybe you have not experienced it, or you have experienced it, and you want to experience it again. Because maybe you fell back into it. We know that confession is needed. And that's what James says. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I want to let you guys know one thing. We were all made righteous in Christ. Christ's blood has made all of us righteous. If we believe that our prayer does this, it will. So let's pray for one another. Let's confess our sins to each other. And we'll be able to experience that freedom. There's more verses, more books in the Bible that talk about it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. But man, confession? It's really uncomfortable, isn't it? We're sharing the things that we're ashamed of. That's not a comfortable thing to talk about. We're fearful that people are going to reject us. And in fact, it's not normal. We don't see it happening. It's not like people coming up on stage and confessing their sins all the time. It's not like people are going and confessing to you all the time or whatever confession happens. It's always done in secret. It's always done where nobody else sees it. And so me or somebody else that maybe has not been able to experience confession doesn't know what it looks like. And that's okay. You don't really have to. And ultimately, confession kind of humbles us. We try to make ourselves look good, but we just can't. Confession is sort of an ugly, uncomfortable thing. But all of those things are not going to matter because we know that confession is so rewarding. It's where grace and forgiveness and mercy is poured out to us. We are filled with love by not just the person that we're confessing to, but also the Father. The Father pours out his love to us and his mercy. And that burden of guilt is finally lifted. And in the same idea of one anothering, relationships are built. That's why confession is so good, because it builds up relationships. It brings us back home. Just like that prodigal son, after living a prodigal life of doing whatever he wanted to do, he finally came back home and confessed. And almost, I'd like to say, before he could ever get all of the words out, the Father was already running towards him. He was already there. So if you guys are thinking about it, or if you felt like you want to do it, God is right there. And he's already embracing you. We're trying to be more like Christ, right? And I remember when I was looking at confession, I'm like, well, Christ didn't really have to confess any sin. So how is this making us look more like him? And it's like, well, it's a commandment, so we have to follow it, and that's that. Well, I'd like to say confession makes us look a whole lot more like Christ. One, our sins are forgiven. But two, how good did Jesus look when he was on the cross? We're talking about confession not looking all that great and looking pretty ugly. How good did Jesus look while he was on the cross? He was disfigured. People didn't recognize him anymore. He was bloodied. A crown of thorns was put on him. He was hanging on a cross in a very inhumane way. When we confess our sins, we look more like Jesus because we are humbling ourselves. We are being realistic with ourselves, or being real. And that's, we are all there. We all have ugly moments. All we have to do is share it with one another. And what that does is it actually encourages the person that you're confessing to, but it also encourages you, because whoever you're talking to, they've experienced it too. And in fact, I would be surprised if they didn't feel like they wanted to share something with you as well. In other words, the suffering and humility it takes to confess makes us look more like Jesus. Now, I want to remind us that it's not what we do. It's not even confession. It's not the good things that we do that hold us up, but it's Jesus Christ. He's the one that holds us up. When you are trying to figure out, man, what do I do? What do I do? Forget about all of it. And remember Jesus and just empty yourself to him. He will take care of you. And things like confession will start flowing out of you and will be easier than ever. Another thing I want to say is that confession is not always on a stage. You don't have to come up here. If you have something weighing on your heart, don't feel like you have to come up here and say it. Because of that reason, we have elders and their wives that go in the back. So, not just for confession, but anything that's weighing on your heart, they go in the back and you can talk to them there. Lastly, I want to say that I understand past experiences can hold us back. Past traumas of somebody maybe not accepting you. Maybe you have experienced that rejection and you don't want to experience it again. Well, let me just say, do not let that keep you from experiencing that freedom for coming back home again. Because once you're home, nothing else is going to matter. So for us all, we all know this, at the very end of the lesson, elders and their wives, or not that not the lesson, but at the end of the worship time, the elders and their wives will be in the back to be ready to hear you. Whether it's confession or just anything else, baptism, whatever it is, they're going to be back there waiting to hear you. And if you have nowhere else to go, there's also an email that Shallow Road has that's only ever seen by Gary. If you have nowhere else to go, he's willing to connect you to somebody else that has experienced the same thing that you've experienced. So if you want to get rid of whatever is weighing on your heart, there's another outlet there. And of course, I think that you would all agree with me that there are plenty of wonderful people here in this family that would be willing to hear you. I'm one of those. Somebody that's sitting right next to you, I bet you, would have absolutely no problem with hearing you and praying with you. And that's the key, is to pray. Make sure that everything that comes up is given to God. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen. Give it to God and start moving forward from there. So, just a reminder, seek someone trustworthy, right? Make sure that they are trustworthy. Doesn't have to be up on a stage. Be more like Jesus and embrace the humility. That's just what life of being a Christian is like, is just being humble. And seek freedom. Come back home.